Today we will continue in the book of Hebrews. You know, last time when I spoke, we was here and we looked at the book of Hebrews. You know, and most likely the book was written at a time to encourage the Jewish converts that had been called into the church, because, you know, at that time all the converts were Jewish there, as we read there in the book of Acts and everything. And Christ inspired the writer to put down a number of things often in going through the book of Hebrews, and you look at the chapter, it'll say, and better things. We have better things now. And one of those things is that we have a better high priest than what they come out of the Jewish tradition. We have Jesus Christ, and that's the theme of the book of Hebrews, is that Jesus Christ is our high priest. You know, in chapter 1 we read where Jesus is a better messenger. In chapter 2, Jesus was a better man. So this book is a very encouraging book for us to read as we go through life. And as we go through this series, I hope to bring us up so that fits very well in with Passover when we get there at that time. But before we begin chapter 3 today, in light of the communication we had from United News Home Office this week and Mr. Phelps' test publication, we will go back to take a look here at chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, verses 11 through 13. In Hebrews 11, chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, of which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So for he who sanctifies, that's Christ, and we are the ones being sanctified, set apart. And he says here, for we are one. And then notice what Christ says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. In other words, he's saying he will declare his Father's name, you know, our Heavenly Father, to us. So Christ is the messenger who reveals to us the Father. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. So, you know, he's in our midst, hopefully, Jesus Christ. So he's here to help us to sing praises to God in our song service and in our opening and closing prayers. And again, verse 13, I'll put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. So here our high priest, Jesus Christ, refers to us as his brethren and as children of God the Father, because God has called each and every one of us to come before him. And there's a quote actually from Psalm 22 and verse 22, where it says, in Psalm 22, verse 22, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. So we can have this opportunity to praise God the Father. And as Mr. Phelps sent out yesterday to us, that test publication for the Ann Arbor congregation, probably most of you have received that we are to remember things so that we can give praise to our Heavenly Father. Well, I would like to, before I get started here, mention a tool that we can have to help us so keep track of how we can praise our Heavenly Father. One tool is to have a journal. Get yourself a journal and write down every day things that, you know, stand out in your life for that day, and be surprised how often in your journal you find that you have blessings there. For I got this journal as a gift from someone back. This was the 24th of October, 2020. This was a gift from a woman who sent this, a journal to me, very nice. And on the cover of it, it says, be strong and courageous, quote from Joshua 1 and verse 9. And on every page in my journal, there's a scripture at the bottom that can give me encouragement if I need it for a day. For like, I have a couple entries here on this particular page. It says Deuteronomy 31:8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. So every page. It's a wonderful book. You know, I was not one to have a journal before I received this, but I did start to use it. And the very first entry is the 25th of October, 2020. But once I started to use it, it helped through the time when Helen, you know, had come down, had cancer, you know, day by day, keeping track of things there. And so I can look back on and remember exactly what day things took place. And it's really been helpful for Amy and I, since I kept track when we started seeing one another. And last evening, we were looking through the journal here just to remind us of the blessings that God has given us. You know, we call them wow words. Without words, you know. I even have it engraved in my inside of my ring here. Wow. Yeah, the way God brought us together. It's amazing. But just to make sure. And just to let you know, it does get warm once in a while here in February, in case you forgot about the times. See, you have to write things down so you can remember. It was warm at once in one February I have here. This was February 4th. It was 2022. It says, Amy came by. We walked and sat outside in the sun and had a wonderful conversation that day. That was February 4th, because it was warm enough for us to sit outside on my little patio and chat. We had a wonderful conversation that day. And then a little later I wrote, the 9th of February, we set a record high of 60 degrees. That was 2 years ago. Can you believe it? In the month of February, we set a record high, 60 degrees. And then also turn the page for something else is here on, I wrote March 7th. Amy says yes to the question, will you marry me? Now, she tells me last night that is not what my question was to her. She says my question to her was, will you be my wife? So I think probably have to go along with what she has said. And but a reminder like that, it helps to look back and see how God has intervened in our lives, and we can thank him. You know, Amy and I, we thank him daily for how he brought us together. And that's why this past Thursday at Mimi's, those of that were there at Mimi's this past Thursday, if you noticed, Amy and I had a huge bread pudding dessert that we shared. Well, that was to remember what happened on March 7th, 2022, because that was Amy had driven to Mimi's, and before we went in together to sit at the table, she said to me, yes, that she would become my wife. So that's what we were celebrating this past Thursday at Mimi's. That's why we had the bread pudding. We discarded our diet that day this past Thursday. But so, you know, if you get yourself a journal and start keeping a daily journal, it helps you to remember things in your life where God intervened, and you'll be able to contribute to this publication that Mr. Phelps would like to get up and get going at this time. So let's go on now to chapter 3 here regarding in the book of Hebrews. The writer says, because of Christ in the previous verse there, chapter 2, verse 18, where it says, regarding our high priest, Jesus Christ, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he also is able to aid those who are tempted. You know, positive that as Christ, as our high priest, is able to help us when we're tempted. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So we are to consider what he has done for, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. You know, bringing out here that we have a better household with Jesus Christ as the head of it versus the one with Moses there and the Israelites. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. Yes, Moses was a faithful servant to the Israelites and to God. But then goes on here the writer, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing and the hope firm to the end. So yes, Christ is building his house that we are a part of. The Father called and he's placed us into his house at this time. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, speaking today to us, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So this is a warning here of what we are to do. We are to listen to what Christ is saying today, which is, you know, every day in our lives. Do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me or provoked God, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always do astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So we've been called and at this time, and this is events that took place. If you turn back with me now to Exodus chapter 17 and verse 7. We see that rebellion where God got upset with him. Anyway, that's not quite the verse that I want, it looks like. Anyway, there was they rebelled at Meribah, and that's a word that is used here in Hebrews. Here as we were looking there, they rebelled. That is when, you know, they complained against Moses and God because of not having water at that time, and that's when God told Moses, go and hit the rock, and water will come forth, and it did. But Moses did not do it quite properly, so he lost his opportunity to enter the promised land at that time. So as it says here in verse 12, back to Hebrews 3 and verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Yes, we have to be faithful as children in Christ's house and exhort one another daily. For continuing on verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? They all rebelled, except for two that we know of, Joshua and Caleb. Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness, And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? And, you know, God took an oath, said, you people are not going to enter the rest, the promised land, because you have rebelled against me. You know, when God stated his oath, you know, we can believe God when he says that. So we see that they could not enter in because unbelief. These people had unbelief, and they could not enter that rest that he had promised them. You know, he had a rest waiting out there for them. If they would just obey him and follow him, they would be able to enter it. But they rebelled, those over the age of 20 rebelled. God says, you aren't going to enter that land because you rebelled against me. You don't believe me. And he had shown them so many things in their lives that he existed, looked out for them, just like us. We keep track in our journal or whatever. We can see where God intervenes in our lives almost daily. Something happens, and we look back, as Amy and I do, and say, yes, God was with us today. You know, there's times you just wonder how things are, how God is going to work things out. It was a week ago last Friday, preparation day. I mean, come Thursday evening, Amy and I, we prayed about, because there were so many things that needed to take place on that Friday so we'd be prepared for the Sabbath. And it did work out that God worked things out on that Friday. So when the Sabbath came around, we were ready for the Sabbath. We were rested and were ready to observe the Sabbath day. So just have to keep track and remember how God intervenes in our lives. And be faithful to him, as this chapter brings out. So as it brings out, we can rest. So continuing on, we have, the warning as we read here. I want to back up here and catch verse 12 once again. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. You know, a warning there not to depart from obeying God. So it reminds me what Christ says over here in Luke 12. 45 through 47. You know, and it seems like it goes on, and Christ doesn't return right away, and Christ says, but if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. So, yeah, Christ is aware. He's keeping track. And God the Father, we're writing a book of remembrance as well before them. So they know what we are doing, and we will be judged at the end time. So we have to continually believe and work with our high priest, Jesus Christ, and remember that he is our elder brother, as we read there in chapter 2, verses 12, when we started. Okay, then, continuing on here in chapter 4 now. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In other words, we know there's a rest coming from it. If we're resurrected and we'll be in that glorified kingdom with Jesus Christ as leader. So we have to remember that. It's like I said, this book talks about the better things. Yes, the better things we have right now, understanding Jesus Christ is our high priest is here to help us. I think a good, better, best. You know, the old covenant was good, but what we have now is better, and the best is when Christ returns and we are spirit beings. That's what we're looking for, to that prophesied event. For, as it said, continuing on chapter 4, verse 2 now, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith." See, knowing God's word, you have to have faith and believe what is being said here. "And those who heard it, for we who have believed do enter the rest, as he has said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.'" You know, those ancient Israelites. "Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of seventh day on this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works," you know, recorded there in Genesis. "And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience," going back to those that we read earlier, the Israelites. "Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, 'Today, after such a long time as it has been said, today you will hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest as himself also ceased from his works as God did from him." Now this word here, rest, is sabbatismos, which means Sabbath time, a day of rest. And some people, the way it translates, sounds like this is talking about the millennium. No, this is talking about the weekly Sabbath day here in verse 9. And it's Sabbath rest, or as an Aramaic translation of this verse is, "It is therefore the duty of the people of God to keep the Sabbath." You know, that's our duty, to keep the Sabbath day. "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work, just as God did from his." You know, we rest because the Sabbath was made for us, and Jesus Christ was the example. He rested on the seventh day of the week. "Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone shall fail according to the same example of disobedience." Yes, let's be faithful in keeping the weekly Sabbath. "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Christ knows what our thoughts are and the intents of our heart, how well we look forward to the Sabbath weekly, to have that rest, to come before God the Father and praise him. Another thing that Amy and I quite often on the Sabbath is to listen to the virtual choir that's available on YouTube that her son Corbin Rose had put together through the years, usually through the times of COVID, yes. So we enjoy that on the Sabbath, to listen to that. You know, praising to God, our great Redeemer, and also listen to other messages. Continuing on, verse 13, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Yes, we have to give account to Jesus Christ. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," once again about Jesus Christ our priest, "who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Yes, we can, once again, brings out the end of this chapter, that we have Jesus Christ as our high priest. We can call upon him. He's able to give us aid, as it says in chapter 2 and verse 18. You know, he was tried just like we are in life, but he endured it all to please God the Father. And then he was crucified for us, but the Father resurrected him and glorified him. And he now sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he still has work to do regarding the churches and helping us so we can go to him. If you would turn with me over to Revelation chapter 1, we see also the responsibilities Jesus Christ has right now. Revelation chapter 1, and we'll see what Jesus Christ is responsible for, more than even just our high priest. I want to look at verse 10 of Revelation 1 to begin with. Here's John, he's there. A revelation of Jesus Christ is revealed to him. And notice what John writes. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice and a trumpet. Lord's Day, or translated Day of the Lord, gives us a setting of what the book of Revelation is, and we need to remember that as we read the book of Revelation. The setting is the day of the Lord. You know, we think approximately in time might be 3.5 years before the return of Christ. And then we notice what Christ says in beginning verse 11. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So John turned when he heard the voice. He says, verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band or sash. He had a sash on. He turned, and this is Jesus Christ that is speaking to him, and he sees this individual. Give us some idea what Christ looks like. It says, his head and his hair were white like wool. You know, that hair on this individual, being that looked like snow, white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. The eyes of Christ, they have nine piercing eyes, flame of fire. Or as someone has described it, as like little blow torches, you know, with flame of fire there. This is what John saw. And it says, verse 15, his feet were like fine brass as refined in the furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. You know, probably you've been by a large waterfall and just heard the roar of the water as it goes over the falls, hitting the rocks. Well, that's what this voice sounded like to John. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword that we read about in Hebrews. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength, you know, very bright. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he said to me, and he laid his hand, right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I live forevermore, alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. So, you know, this is Jesus Christ, the one, the high priest we're reading about in Hebrews. And then he tells John, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, these are the seven stars, are the angels of the seven churches. So in other words, there's an angel over every one of these churches that we read. And the seven lampstands which you saw are seven churches, are the seven churches. So then we see here Jesus Christ in the center of these seven church areas. So he has these seven angels who, you know, respond to Jesus Christ. They have their responsibility, whatever it is, in the seven churches. And we're in one of those churches at this time, and we are to read. So it's interesting to put the whole book together, the Bible, like Hebrews with Revelation. So we can see then that our high priest is working all the time, looking out for us there, helping us, giving us the aid that we need to overcome. And we just have to remember to rely on him, that he is there, that God is very faithful. We have his word, and everything that he says in prophecy will come about, be fulfilled, because God cannot lie. So one thing to remember, continually remember as we go through Hebrews, is that we do have Jesus Christ, our elder brother, our Savior, as our high priest, to bring us forward to the finish line of coming into his kingdom as one of his brethren, as a spirit being.